I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beat and Track Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I speak to Lou Hayter and it's a great chat. We touch upon Lou's early kind of introductions to music, which come via being in the New Young Pony Club, and then we talk about the impact and influence of people like Prince and Madonna and those iconic 80s pop stars. And the conversation kind of goes all over the place. And, you know, we obviously talk great records and yeah, you're in for a treat. Before we get on with that chat, a few thank yous. So thanks to Scribius Pip and everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thank you to 76 for producing this. And how are you lot doing? So This episode was recorded on the 7th of April. I'm recording this intro on the 7th of April. And you know, it's feeling like more positive times. It's feeling like we're on our way out of this situation. I just really hope by the time this episode comes out that, you know, that's still very much the case. And so whilst we're talking about the odd times that we've been going through, you know, one of the things that has, you know, definitely kept my head hopefully where it should be, has been recording these podcasts and sitting in my shed and next to my neighbour's new shed, which you'll probably hear him drilling in a minute. That's his new favourite pastime. It's really sort of kept me sane being able to have these amazing opportunities to talk to lovely people, incredible creatives about songs. I love talking records. It's why I set this podcast up. It's what I do. It's how I annoy my mates because, you know, whenever we're out and about and, you know, we're sitting there and a couple of beers in, a record to come on, I'm always that irritant that I go, did you know that this was produced by blah, blah, blah? And it's like, oh, shut up, Stu. So I've now got this little space in my shed where I can go and speak to other like-minded people and just geek off about records and then put it out for you lot to listen to. And thankfully, there's been a fair few of you that have been enjoying it and subscribing and sharing and chatting to me about it. So just a massive thank you, really, to you lot for continuing to support this podcast because it's such a joy to do. And if you get an ounce of the joy listening that I do recording, then that's my job is done. Once you finish listening to today's chat with Lou, why not go and explore the back catalogue of Off the Beaten Track? You can hear me talking to other musicians, some of the ones that we discuss on this podcast. You can hear me talking to Tiga, and you can hear me talking to Fatboy Slim. Oh, gosh, who else? I always want to say the Foo Fighters and Tommy Lee, but I always think that I should also talk about a stack of other ones, but yeah, there's bundles, Suede, Idols. So go and have a little explore because there's bundles. There's like 270 episodes now, and you can listen to them all for free. And trust me when I say I've got some incredible ones coming your way soon as well. I've just been so blessed to have these chats. Okay, and also if you've not still had enough of my lispy nattering, then you can get access to another 200 shows that have never been released to the public, radio shows and video episodes and everything else over on my Patreon. And it's something that I always like to mention. And it's really nice that, you know, the Summies have been getting behind it. And, you know, it's as little as a dollar a month. And what's that, 70 odd p a month? And yeah, and you just get access to some some great content, and yeah, and basically you're supporting the podcast. So if you can get behind that, that's amazing. Patreon, patreon.com/offthebeatentrack. And yeah, and everything else you need to know is at your one-stop shop, www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Beat and, not beaten. Beatandtrackpodcast.com. Right. I'm going to stop my waffling and yeah, get things rolling on some much more interesting chat. And that chat comes via today's guest, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce her. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Lou Hayter. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beaten Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com, or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Okay, we are recording. Lou, how are you doing today?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Good, good, good. Well, look, Lou, before we start talking records and stuff, I just want to ask you to kind of tell me how you found the last year as both Lou, human being, and Lou Creative.
I mean, it's been an emotional roller coaster, I'd say, you know. Yeah, very challenging. And creatively, yeah, the first sort of probably 6 months I wasn't able to do anything. And now everything's kind of coming out of me, and I've got loads of ideas again, which is really nice. So I'm writing new stuff, but the initial bit, it felt as though because we had so much time on our hands, I should be making stuff, but I wasn't capable of doing it really, because there was so much going on, wasn't there?
I think so. And I think there was, you know, I think also in the early part of going into lockdown, we should also point out we're recording this on the 7th of April, and hopefully we're on the way out of it now, but just to sort of look back retrospectively, I think you know, this time last year, I think everybody was still very sort of knee-jerk in you know, in responding to something that was unraveling rapidly, that we'd none of us had any experience of ever, you know, living through anything like that. So I think, you know, to as an artist, to then just go, right, well, I'm now going to write the lockdown album, like, would almost be forced. Do you know what I mean? So I think, like, most of us have done more reflection and you know, and looking back, you know, at ourselves and at, you know, at what's important. And I think to sort of give it that break before you start creating music again, I think that's surely a healthy thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did try to make the lockdown album, don't get me wrong. I started doing cover versions, but I just didn't put them out there. But I did make, as a sort of therapy, I did actually do some. I'm going to keep it on the DL because I won't put them out of it. But I did actually have sort of fragmented ideas coming into my head, and well, I wasn't able to sort of take them very far because I didn't have the concentration span. But even just like little hooks and lyrics I sang into my phone, or some days I would just record like a little sort of musical loop or something, and now I've gone back to them, I've realised I actually made more stuff than I realised I had.
Excellent.
But at the time, it all felt like, I don't know, it felt like I wasn't doing anything at all. But yeah, there were little ideas coming through, I think. But it was just very difficult to sort of have any clarity. And sometimes you need a lot of like mental clarity to make music, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you for track one now, Lou, to tell me, please, the song that you regard as having the greatest ever intro, please.
Oh, yes. I have chosen 1999 by Prince.
Solid choice. Solid choice.
Has that one been taken before?
I think maybe twice so far. And I mean, Prince has got a shed load of amazing intros.
Yeah, he really has.
But I do think this is like, I mean, why did you choose this one?
I just, it's what came to mind initially, and also he's my ultimate artist. So any time I can choose Prince, I will, you know.
Absolutely. But
there are two intros. Sorry, I interrupted
you. Go on, no, please. Sorry, I interrupted you.
There are two intros. So there's the, I think, album or 12-inch version where he says, like, don't worry, I will not hurt you. He's pitched down and he says, I only want you to have some fun. And then there's the radio edit, which is like the big stab, 1999 stabs, keyboard stabs. So there are two brilliant intros to the same song, and I like both of them.
Do you know what? I've completely got it round my head. No one's chose this. Two people have chose Let's Go Crazy. Same record. But yeah. And so in regards to what you just said there about the kind of fuller version on the 12 and then the edit, looking back at when you first started making music that was, you know, finding its way into the sort of public domain and stuff, the way that people were listening to music, I imagine back then, a lot of stuff was happening on MySpace and things like that. And I just wonder how you approach making music now in the time frame from then to now. The way that people listen to music is very, very different. Thumbs move a lot quicker, and attention spans seem in some demographics seem to move a lot faster as well. And so I just wonder how, if at all, anything like that affects how you write music now.
No, not at all. I mean, the industry's changed so much since I started making music, but I can't focus on any, if I focus on any external pressures, it just doesn't help me. So I just do whatever I want to do. I never think how things will be when I'm writing. I never think how something will be received or have any strategy or anything, because I think it really inhibits you creatively. And I think I'm quite lucky that I don't think that way. Like some of my friends, one of my friends is obsessed with getting on Radio One, and I think it like doesn't help because it's so much pressure. And I never ever think of that way. So I just do what I do, and I think that's all you really can do. I mean, there's nice stuff about the way things work now in the sort of way you can be really instant about things. You know, you can make something and put it out pretty much the next day if you want. And I think people move fast. Like, you know, sometimes Ariana Grande or Rihanna will just drop they just drop two albums in a row. And I like that sort of thing. I think it's really interesting. And even the album format, I think, wasn't necessarily what people do anymore, you know. We're very much in a singles game, but I think as I grew up with the album format, it's something that I aspire to. So I don't really get caught up in too much in what my surroundings.
I think that, you know, that question is sometimes maybe aimed more towards a kind of more kind of, and I use the word pop with respect there, like the more kind of mainstream pop is the things that, you know, people do seem to be starting with choruses, and the songs seem to be like 2.5 minutes tops, and the vocals there straight from the off. And you know, you're saying about your friend that he's, you know, constantly sort of striving to get, you know, onto Radio 1 and things like that. I find, like, you know, there's it's a double-edged sword. I think that it is really, really interesting that some people still try and strive to make that, you know, the perfect pop record that, you know, that is instantaneous and things like that. But then, as much as, you know, that for me was like early Motown, you know, it's just these perfectly sweet, infectious, hook-laden songs. But then I also love the tail end of, you know, that kind of 60s Motown, which is What's Going On, and, you know, what the Temptations were doing then, which was concept albums. It would move from the single to these albums still, you know, being a body of work. And so I'm kind of torn. You know, I like a bit of both. You know, I do like that instantaneous pop, but I do like to put an album on and it, you know, be a journey.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah, I'm the same as you. But I suppose I do subscribe to kind of like, I study pop records, you know, verse, chorus, middle eight, whatever, and I study hooks and how they do it, but I just don't have the same sort of strategic mindset of why I'm doing it. I do it just because I like it, rather than like, oh, this will get me on blah, 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 you know?
Mm.
It's just a different, but yeah, I very much admire like the great pop writers of our time or times before, you know?
Okay. For track two, Lou, I'm going to ask you the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
Yeah, I think, and this ties into another question, but I think it's probably Live to Tell by Madonna.
Okay.
It's, you know, one of my sort of formative influences is her, and that one, every time I hear it now even, I feel kind of like a bit, it's quite eerie.
Yeah.
Frightens me a little bit because I hadn't listened to it for, I know, 15 years, and my mate played it in a car in LA, and I was like, God, it really took me back. So yes, that I'd probably choose Live to Tell.
And what did it take you back to?
Just like being a kid, and it's got quite a sort of eerie, scary sound to it.
Do you know what? It's interesting. When you sent the answers over, I didn't get this answer, so I was curious as to what you was going to say. And I think the minute you said Live to Tell, I just thought that's an incredible record, that. But if you were to say to me, tell me 10 Madonna pop records that you danced to and grew up listening to, I'd forgot that. Like, and I don't know why, because I guess it's one of the more somber ones. But then the somber ones are... Borderline is just a genius record.
Yeah, and, it's brilliant.
But I mean, undoubtedly, I mean, you've gone in pretty fucking hard here, Lou. You've started with Prince, and now you've dropped Madonna. There's the absolute,
home,
80s heavyweights right there. Have you seen Madonna?
No, she's the one person I have yet to see, actually, that I want to.
I saw her about 6-7 years ago at Hyde Park, and I was so excited because that kind of just soundtracked my life. You know, Madonna, Prince, and Jackson in the '80s were just everything. You know, they were the best pop music around. And I thought, right, I'm gonna, you know, I didn't get to the True Blue or the Blonde Ambition tours or anything like that. So I thought, I'm going to go and check out Madonna. And just to sort of, it sounds a bit lame, but tick the box that I've seen Madonna. And,
no, I totally get that, yeah.
Oh, it was so rubbish.
Oh, no.
So rubbish. Like,
Was that after, like, Bitch, I'm Madonna? Was that phase?
It was, she'd just done the one with M.I.A., she'd just done,
okay.
I think it was around the time of the
Super Bowl
time, yeah. And I really liked that track that she done with M.I.A.
I can't remember it. I thought it was Bitch, I'm Madonna. I don't know.
She actually, I'm sure they were actually spelling Madonna as they were. Anyway, the thing was, to get the ticket, you had to buy the album as well, which I thought was a bit lame. Like, just to get the ticket was going to cost you another 10 quid, and you had to buy the digital download of her record, so it was going to chart. And you just think, I'm sure Madonna's probably not going to struggle to have a top 10 record. She's Madonna. But honestly, she come out and played like maybe, and I'm all about an artist being an artist, of course. But she played about 5 songs off the new album. And I was like, come on, give us a hit. You've got about 50. Yeah. Give us one.
Yeah.
And she sort of started with, I think she started like doing Like a Virgin, and then she'd done it for about a minute, and then it went into like a sort of swing version of it or something, and it was like,
oh no, God,
this isn't good. And then just lots of costume changes. She looked incredible. Dance routines were amazing. But I was just like, come on. And then I think maybe she played Like a Prayer, but didn't get Papa Don't Preach. No Get Into the Groove. No Open Your Heart. None of the like the absolute pop gems. And then she went, thank you very much, walked off, and I was like, and a lot of the crowd had left at this point anyway.
No way.
And she went, okay, thank you very much, and walked off. And then as she walked off, lights went down, and then the kind of of Holiday started. And I was like, get in, she's going to play Holiday. And then the screens come on, and it was the video to Holiday. And then after about a minute, you realised, oh no, she's just put the video of Holiday on. And it was like, what's going on? So her encore was just her playing her old music video. And so everyone was just kind of sort of walking off, scratching their heads, going,
weird.
It was bizarre and really disappointing.
You should ask for a refund on that album.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I didn't give that one a spin. You never got that problem with Prince, I know.
At least you saw her, though, because I think now she's got a lot of, like, hip problems and she can't...
Oh, really?
...move so well. Yeah, so at least you got there. And I totally get that because I, after Prince died, who I did luckily see a couple of times, I did the same as you. I was like, who haven't I seen? Mm. But, like, you know, because we were in the time of, like, the best musicians ever. So I went to see Steely Dan, because they were the ones I hadn't... Madonna is still the one I haven't seen, but I hadn't seen them, so I went to Santa Barbara to see Steely Dan, which was great. And then Walter Becker died. That ended up being his last gig, which is nuts. Do try and see your heroes.
Mm, absolutely, absolutely.
Even if they are a bit disappointing.
No, like, do you know what? I've seen Madonna now. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor, Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Eggfried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Right, I'm going to stay in the formative years, Lou, and for track 3, I'm going to ask you if the song reminds you of your time at school, please.
Oh, yeah, I chose Kylie because... Kylie was the first gig I saw, actually, and my whole... school time was sort of soundtracked by Stock Aitken and Waterman, you know, and that's what, I mean, I listen to everything. I come from a very musical household, so there's constantly music on, but I was very much a Madonna and Kylie fan. So, she was my first gig, and I've seen her, I carried on seeing her like every 10 years, actually.
And what track did you choose?
I love her. I chose What Do I Have to Do?
Nice.
A bit more of a healthy, sort of euphoric one.
But in retrospect now, when you look back at the Stock Aitken and Waterman era of not just Kylie, but, you know, the other music that was coming out, which at the time, you know, in, I guess, 88, 89, there was lots of other movements in music exploding. And it kind of made Stock Aitken and Waterman the sort of butt of jokes. But I just wonder what your thoughts are now, looking back at the output that that they created.
No, absolutely. And I think in Britain, there's sort of, it seems like success is kind of sneered at, I think. But you just, it's just undeniable that they were the hit makers of the 80s, pretty much. You know, everything they wrote was a hit. And I think, I don't know, you can say what you like about them, but they make a great pop song.
I think they make incredible pop songs. And it's really weird. I mean,
respectable, you know.
Do you know what? Have you listened to The Harder I Try by Brother Beyond recently?
No.
Oh, my God. It's what? Do you know what? I've got this thing, and I've mentioned it before on this podcast. I want to get, like, the Sonia hit, and I want to hear, you know, a couple of Jason Donovan ones and the Kylie ones, and I'll leave Big Fun alone. But what I want is, like, this kind of, all of them songs, but I want them to be played in a Motown style. I want, like, a really amazing kind of soul band to, I want to hear them songs, because they're all Motown songs. You know, you can hear, The Harder I Try by Brother Beyond is a Northern Soul classic waiting to happen, but unfortunately it's deemed this kind of boy band, you know, disposable pop tune, but it's an absolute cracker. I think that they shouldn't be sort of sneered upon. I think, you know, that Stock Aitken and Waterman wrote great pop records, as you said. I completely agree.
People like to sneer at pop in general, but I don't know if, like, people like that appreciate how hard it is to make a record that hits in the way that they did, you know?
100%.
And over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool and amazing to write a 14-minute shoegaze anthem, right? I love it, and I'm all over it, but I'd give my right arm to be able to have written Too Many Broken Hearts, because it's just it's a pop gem, and it's like, and that's not easy to do. And it, like you say, and then to just keep rattling them off, it's like, that's a skill set right there.
Yeah.
So in regards to those formative years in school, how was that?
How were my school years?
Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
I mean, I grew up in Bromley, so it was very, it's nice. My primary school's right near my house. Still is near my parents. We'd walk to school. And secondary school, same, but it's very, I think the mindset was quite narrow for me. It's suburbia. So I didn't always feel like I had people I could relate to until probably I got to sixth form, college / university, and left university, you know.
Is that when you sort of felt you found your tribe?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that sort of. So, yeah, I was a bit of an outsider, I think, at school. But that's, you know, that's a lot of people's story, isn't it?
Did you know what you wanted to be when you was at school?
No. I mean, when you're a kid, you want to be everything, don't you? You're like, I want to be a vet, I want to be an actor, I want to be a pop star, I want to be blah, blah, blah. But I just didn't think I could sing. I started buying records. Well, I mean, I bought records since I was a small child, but I started collecting in my teens and wanted to start DJing from sort of 14, 15 onwards, not in a sort of careerist mindset. I just wanted to go out and play records. But I didn't think I could sing. So I never, ever thought that I would be doing what I'm doing now, because I just didn't think that it was in my skill set. So I didn't start singing till I was 25, even though I always wanted to.
Was that a confidence thing?
No, I just couldn't sing. I just literally couldn't sing. And then I discovered that you could do sort of vocal production, and that was a game changer for me. So I started writing songs, and then just, I mean, you can hear it, the first track I released, you can hear the difference in my voice from that to my album now. I just pushed it and pushed it until I got to a point where it sounded good.
And so vocals aside, just to go back to the kind of confidence thing, to, you know, at 14, 15, wanting to be a DJ and starting to sort of, you know, pursue avenues to do that. Was you a confident kid then?
No, not at all. I'm just focused, and I think, I'm still not that confident, but in terms of music, I think because it's the thing that I do know, I've always had a confidence within that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Of course. Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Egg Fried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Egg Fried. Also, they've got a new kids range. And it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Are you driven?
I mean, it depends what you, how you gauge driven. But I definitely know that I know what I want to do. I want to make loads of records that I'm proud of. If that's driven, then yes. And I'd like to have a lot of sort of plans that I'd like to achieve, yeah, in terms of like making soundtracks and making great records. That's what I want to do.
For track 4, Lou, I'm going to ask you for the first song that you bought from a record shop, please.
Yeah, that was, going back to Madonna, that was True Blue.
Oh,
and I've still got it.
So was that the single or the album?
The album.
Oh.
And my mum was like, I can't believe you saved up that money and spent it on a record. She was really impressed.
I remember seeing something then when on the Blonde Ambition tour, that I think it was when she done Open Your Heart on stage, she brought this like young lad out that was a on-stage dancer, and I think he was just like some sort of like 13, 14-year-old kid, and he was a really cool dancer. I don't know if you remember the Blonde Ambition video, like, but it was brilliant. There was this really young, cool kid, and I remember reading this interview with him in like Smash Hits or something like that, and he said, like, when we was touring and we played my hometown, at the end of the song, all of my school friends were there, and like Madonna come over before I walked off stage, and she kissed me in front of like all of my schoolmates. And I remember just thinking,
wow,
I want to be a dancer. That kid's got the best job ever. He just goes around the world and gets kissed by Madonna, like in front of his mates. Like, what more do you want?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you touched upon something earlier when you said that you there was always music on at home growing up. What sort of music was you being exposed to then?
So probably like all chart music, and then some classical. So my mum would listen to Burt Bacharach, still does, and then dad listens to classical stuff, and then my brothers and sisters would be listening to like the Human League, the Prince, the Bangles. I was really into the Bangles.
Yeah.
What else? And like just later on, like sort of acid house coming in. Like I was really fascinated with Pacific State by 808 State. And yeah, Uncertain Smile by the I remember particularly. And then, like, when Grooves in the Heart came on, that came out, that was, like, a huge turning point for me. It was like, Inner City, Good Life. I sort of remember all these things coming out, but my oldest brother's, like, a real collector and music obsessive, so he was playing all kinds of things that were feeding in. I remember things like Roy Ayres, Everybody Loves the Sunshine.
Oh, what a record.
Like hearing that when I was, I don't know, 9 or 10 or something, and that being a big influence on me, because then I sort of got more into jazz and funk and stuff in my teens, and house music. Like Eric Satie, my brother played to me when I was sort of 5 or 6, and then I took up the piano and I learned the whole sort of, because I loved it as soon as I heard it. And then the fact that I could learn Gymnopédie Nocturne was like a sort of huge, I don't know, opened a whole world up for me that I could play this piece of music that I loved. And so from there I started having piano lessons and learning the piano.
And just to go back to what you mentioned, like Inner City and 808 State and D-Light and things like that. And that kind of goes back to what, you know, I was saying at the time of Scott Aitken and Waterman, why that might have got sneered upon, because there was acid, obviously you mentioned acid house, that was, you know, exploding, and that was way cooler and more exciting than commercial pop music, because it felt naughty. It felt, you know, it was, the papers were slamming it and saying, you know, this was, you know, this absolutely disgraceful thing that was happening in fields and in warehouses. And did you kind of, even at a young age, sort of feel the kind of the excitement and buzz around what was happening?
I wasn't really aware of like the rave aspect of it, I don't think. Maybe my brothers were going to stuff, but I wasn't. I was too young. I just heard the sort of what came into our house and into the charts, which there was a lot of it, though, you know, yeah. S Express. It did really cross over into the pop charts. So I was sort of, you know, I know all the acid house records, but not because in any way I was part of it as a scene.
Sure.
And I was completely oblivious to all of that, I would say.
It's interesting that you just mentioned like S Express and stuff. It's I'm I'm quite tragic insofar as on a Friday night, I love watching vintage Top of the Pops. And and it's all 88, 89 at the moment. And it's like, it's so exciting because it will be big fun. And then it will then cut straight to either Mark Moore's, you know, S Express. And it's really interesting seeing the BBC trying to understand how to deal with dance music, because the formula is like, oh, hang on, so there's not a drummer or a guitarist or a, but, well, oh, hang on, what do we do here? And it's like, they give Mark Moore like a keytar. And so like Mark's sort of jumping around to S Express. But when you've got things like, you know, Alternate and you know, and 808 State, I guess who were more of a, I guess a band as, you know, four piece at the time. But just seeing like, you know, and in the city, just seeing like a vocalist and a keyboardist. And it was just like seeing what Top of the Pops just did not know how to deal with what was happening in music and how, you know, that whole formula. It's like, no, you can't have Pan's people start coming out behind like S Express. It won't work. And it, I just think it's
two dancers at the problem, didn't they? And a DJ as well. It wasn't
really
a DJ.
Yeah. Okay, well, whilst we're talking, I guess, dance music and movements in music, that all comes on nicely to the next question, which is the song that soundtracked your years clubbing, please, Lou.
Oh, I chose Let's Get Sick by Moo.
Okay.
Just because it was such a huge, it's a bit of an eye-opener, really. It was like it came out and everyone was like, what's that? You know, which is often what happens with a Maurice Fulton record. He's the producer. But it also had a sort of personal significance for me because I worked at the label that released it called Output, which is my friend Trevor Jackson's label. And that time was just me and my, you know, I met all my best friends and we were just like out. And we'd go to Sonar, and it was such a great time. It's all people like Tiga DJing and all that kind of scene. And it was something, I was just very much part of that scene. And so Let's Get Sick was, it's just a brilliant record, isn't it? It still sounds incredible, still sounds really fresh.
And was you DJing then?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was. I DJed since I was at university. So I sort of, throughout doing my degree, I was sort of running a night. And then when I moved back to London, I was DJing the whole time. And then I started working at Output. And yeah, I was sort of, the whole time. I've been DJing for ages now.
Okay, well, I'm going to take you home for track six, Lou, and ask you for a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
Oh, yeah, I chose Stay by David Bowie.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so Bowie's house, one of his houses, because I think he went between Beckenham and Bromley when he was young, but the house he lived in for, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 years is two streets from my parents' house. So I think about that a lot. I think he went to the same little train station I did to get to town, and just that mindset of being like a suburban kid that is very much like draws from the city, the big city, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, when I was, you know, in my family, we always had Hunky Dory on. It's like one of the albums that the whole family loves, you know? But as I got older, I got really into Station to Station and Young Americans and Lodger and stuff. So I chose Stay.
Perfect. What is your favourite Bowie era?
I think now it's Young Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Or Station to Station.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree with you there.
It changes.
So do you always feel like, you know, in suburbia, like, you know, I'm based in Essex, and I often use the reason I set this podcast up, and I've mentioned this before, is I set this up like a long, you know, a few years ago now, through chatting to a good friend of mine who's a musician called Scroobius Pip, or a former musician called Scroobius Pip, and he lives in you know, just up the road from me, and he was always sort of asked, "Are you going to move to London? You're going to move into London now?" And he's like, "No, I'll just get the train in. It's all right." Like, but do you always feel like, you know, as an artist, there's a, you know, there's a pull that you, you know, you need to be in the city to, you know, you need to be in town to you know, to be around the right people in the right places, and you know, that's where it's at. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, absolutely. I love being in the city, and I thrive off of it. But now it doesn't actually feel that far away. Like, probably a lot of hipsters are moving because London's kind of growing and people are getting priced out. I think a lot of hipsters are moving to Bromley now, which is quite baffling, and like Peckham is really trendy and stuff. So, you know, maybe I would move out a bit, but I do very much come alive in the city. I love it. I love the energy and the pace and everything.
For the last track, you can play DJ now, Lou. And I'm going to ask you for a track that many may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not really a DJ. It's a slow, very slow song, actually. I've chosen Pinball by Brian Protheroe. And the reason for that is because I've covered it on my album and maybe people don't know the original track.
Okay. Well, Lou, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can go and listen to all of your choices today. And obviously we'll put some...
We're
going to
sound really weird together.
Yeah, they're all quite haphazard, and it is quite strange because I've looked at certain ones where I've sort of sent people over and said, go and have a listen to, like, you know, what they've chosen, and it will be like Bowie, Nick Cave, the Reynolds Girls, and it's like, hang on a minute, how does that work?
Reynolds Girls, actually. God, I didn't know.
Well, Lou, as I mentioned earlier, you know, fingers crossed, we're on a road out of this bonkers time we've been experiencing for the last year or so now. And, you know, with a positive mind that we're going to get back to being able to DJ and go to clubs and hug friends and stuff. What are you looking forward to from 2021, and what's happening professionally?
I'm looking forward to everything you just mentioned. Seeing my friends and dancing and hugging and stuff. And the summer as well. It'll be nice when the sun comes out. And professionally, my record is out. My album is out on the 23rd of May.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
And Lou, if people want to kind of keep up to speed with everything that's happening, where's the best place to keep up to speed on what you're doing?
Probably my Instagram or Spotify. Okay.
Wonderful. Well, when this comes out, are you happy for me to tag you in it so people can then go and follow you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
wonderful. Absolutely. Lou, thanks so much for your time today. It's been a delight talking records with you.
Yeah, really nice.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. There you go. Oh, do you know what? I just, any opportunity to talk about 80s pop music, I want to talk forever about it. You know, I kind of gave the impression that I'm a massive obsessive overstocker, and I'm not. I just think they make really great pop records, and that shouldn't get sneered at. But when it comes to Madonna and Prince, and obviously Lou also mentioned like Human League and the and stuff like that, oh, I could talk forever. You know, I have to sit there and I'm literally kind of my feet are tapping like the stool that I'm sitting on as they're talking, because I've just got a million and one things that I just want to say. And it's that whole thing of like, right, hang on a minute. You're not six beers in down the pub now. You're doing a podcast. You've got to let the guest speak. Don't start lisping all over the guest, like, you know, wanting to bang on about obscure AHA B-sides, because it's not what it's about. If you head over to the Patreon, there's probably on some of the radio shows, I will be playing some great 80s pop and getting overly excited about it and banging on about it. So you can, get that kind of fix. If for some weird reason you ever want to hear me enthusing about Bananas 80s records, then you can do so the Patreon. Right, I'm done. Have a lovely week. Thanks ever so much for listening. If you see us on the socials, you know the drill. Like, love, share, retweet, comment, message, whatever you want to do. But, I really appreciate any kind of help on the socials to get the word out about this podcast. I'll see you next time. Be excellent to each other. Bye-bye. Got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing, www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out, because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands, alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk. Official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. With me, Stu Whipping.